begins now. Let's get to two more calls, and then we'll check out some of the texts on the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3776. Let's go down to Merritt Island, Florida, which I'm not sure where that is. Tausch, have you ever been there?
I haven't. Is that by Marco Island? They both begin with M's. They do that alphabetically. I'll be curious to find out. Ahmad Merritt. Remember Ahmad Merritt?
I do.
Number one. Wideout.
Is there a basketball player whose last name was Merritt, too, for the Badgers? John, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How are things on Merritt Island?
Merritt Island is located at the Space Coast.
So, Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral, yep.
Cocoa Beach region?
So Cocoa Beach is right across the river from us. So you got Cocoa to the west. Then you got the Indian River, then you got Merritt Island, then you got the Banana River, then you got Cocoa Beach and Cape Canaveral.
We went on a trip there. That's a really fun area. We enjoyed that a lot, and we enjoyed the Space Center.
Is that by Stratford of Avon? Is that near there, Stratford of Avon?
No, it's by the medieval city of York, though. John, what do you got?
A couple of questions. First of all, with them bringing Brandon McManus back, I felt, as cautious as they were with him, that he would have made those kicks that I think he normally would have made last night. Mm-hmm. So do you think they brought him back too early? And what do you think is the future of Lucas Haversick?
So, and I know you've got multiple questions, so let's answer that one, and then you can ask your next one. What I would say, as much as I'd like to defer to Tausch, is that Tausch's point earlier about feeling pipped was at play here. I think probably Brandon McManus pushed to be back. He pushed a kick on Thursday in practice. I'm not saying he was worried about Haversick taking his job per se, because I don't think that was what's going to happen. But to Tausch's point about always kind of looking over your shoulder, I think for as cautious as they were, he convinced them to let him come back early based on how it looked. And the way LaFleur answered the question from Pete Doherty after the game that they have to reevaluate what they did there, that tells me that they weren't maybe 100% in on him kicking, and they maybe let him sway that, kind of like Zach Tom swayed them to play him in Cleveland and then lasted one snap. John, what else you got?
Yeah, makes sense. Do you see the Packers doing anything before the trade deadline? In other words, do you see them making a trade? Do you see them picking up anybody, letting anybody go, you know, trading anybody? What do you see?
Tausch, you're the one trading for Deion Sanders. I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, if we can get Deion, I don't think we're going to see a lot. Obviously, Green Bay loves draft picks. We know that. They gave up a couple, and I thought if there was anybody that you could trade to get value of that you don't need, you're not going to get a second or third round pick. You want that player on your team because you're chasing a championship. So, you know, there were people saying, well, you know, what about Musgrave, or what about, I don't even know who else they'd even put on the trade. Haversick. If you can get a sixth or seventh for Haversick and you knew McManus was back being healthy, I'm all in on doing that. You're not going to get that. And you don't know. I don't think you're going to have the luxury of knowing he's healthy before the trade deadline. So I'd love to see them go out and pick up a veteran corner that you feel like can help you. But I don't think Goody is going to be overly aggressive here. I think he kind of went out there and he spent his payload on Micah. And I don't think he's going to give up a ton more for anyone that you'd think is going to be a monster impact player, even though I do think the defensive backfield room could use an injection of someone new. But I don't know if there's anybody on this roster that I'd feel in the past, if this season had gotten away and we were 2-5, maybe you could look at Sheed Walker or guys that you're not going to sign. But you have to remember, these guys are going to get paid, and you're going to get in that compensatory pool. probably some really – this is going to be a big-time compensatory draft season for the Green Bay Packers if indeed they don't make any of these trades.
John, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I'm looking.
Jason, do you agree, or do you think that there's anybody that they could shop?
So I think Goody would love to have more picks, but what he'd love to have more of is more Super Bowl trophies. So I don't think that as much as he'd like to recoup some draft capital. I mean, Rashawn Gary has 7.5 sacks. Do you really want to save next year's salary by trading away a guy that's getting after the quarterback that way? No. Do you really want to trade?
Trade him in the offseason.
And do you really want to trade? I understand Romeo Doubs had a drop yesterday or whatever else, but Romeo Doubs has been Love's security blanket. On third down, that's where he's looking first. So you're not – that prediction, which I never really thought, that's why I thought it was bold. I never thought they were going to trade him. I have always thought that they are going to let him sign elsewhere after the season. And maybe that'll prove out to be wrong, too. It very well could be. Matt Bowen, our buddy and your former teammate, member of the 2000 draft class, taken one pick before Tom Brady or one pick after?
He's in that category, yeah. I think so. I think you're right.
ESPN did the top 25 rankings of best available players potentially available at the trade deadline. The cornerbacks that are on their list, in case you're curious, Reek Woolen from the Seattle Seahawks is number 4. Alante Taylor, whose game I am unfamiliar with, of the New Orleans Saints is number 9. Michael Carter II of the Jets is number 12. Mm. Roger McCreary. Do you recognize these names?
Carter? Yes. I mean, I've heard of a lot of Carters, so yeah.
Roger McCreary of the Tennessee Titans, number 14. Those are the tight ends, cornerbacks. I just went past the tight end. Kingsley Anagbare is the one Packer on this list. Also from the Bengals, Cam Taylor Britt is number 20. He's a corner as well, right in front of your guy, Kirk Cousins, who it didn't look like things went very well for him.
No.
Falcons are in a
tailspin. The Vikings are going to have to go back to McCarthy. Because now I think they see that the season is it may be slipping. They need to find out what they got with him. So I don't think – we'll see what happens. I still think they need to make – if they want to salvage this season, even though Kirk Cousins obviously struggling, I still think that would be what I would do. But we shall see. So if I'm Green Bay, what you're looking for here is teams that are beaten into the dirt. And maybe we'll give you something that you normally wouldn't get. Tennessee, the Jets.
Right. Cincinnati-ish.
Who else
stinks?
Miami, maybe Cleveland. Just start snooping around and saying, what do you guys got over there? What do you think? Can we make something happen? But it just feels like, you know, Green Bay's been in conversations. They've made big moves. They haven't. And it feels like this is going to be the group that they're going with. And don't trade guys that are impact players. If you're going to do that, let's finish the season up. And if you want to trade Rashawn Gary at the trade during the off season this year to recoup some picks, all right. But don't think about doing things like that during the season right now. I would not.
All right, let's take one last call. Let's go to Ron in Oak Creek. Ron, thanks for holding on. Good morning. Welcome to World Dean Tausch. What do you got?
Good morning. Jason, D. Orlando Ledbetter said back at you. I told him you said hello when I passed on the phone.
Love D. Led. Thank you for passing that along.
Well, you know, we try. Long-time listener, obviously. You guys got a great show this morning. A couple of things. There's a little shift in the NFL. They're going more from the running to the passing. Look at Philly. They're not running Saquon as much like we're not running Josh, but Jalen Hurts is throwing a lot more, and I just think that's a little bit more shift because the teams have made corrections to last year, and they're making sure you don't. They're going to load the box. You're going to have to beat them with the pass. They didn't know if we could do that, and I think we showed them last night that we could do that. Tatoosh, I wrote this down. Halfley was sitting in that box like Dave Roberts at the end of a game last night.
That's good.
I wrote that one down. Yes, he was. You know what I'm saying, Tatoosh. He was looking pretty damn relaxed. And I want to say, for the Goody head, our team is stacked. You look at that wide receiver room, the way we're blocking. Man, Watson was blocking his behind off yesterday. And we still got Reed to come back. And Matthew Golden is just waiting his turn when he gets an opportunity. But I got to say, the schemes were open. There were two or three guys open when we hit passes. You know, you look back and say, oh, man, look at Golden. Like, you know, look at this. It was a hell of a good – it was just a real all-around good game. And all the haters that want to talk about LaFleur or want to talk about Love and all of that, what you saying now? I thought they put it together yesterday, and I was glad they got behind because it showed to come back what it takes to do it. And I think that, you know, it's a blend. It's a blend of passing and running. But, yeah, the way the NFL is going, you got if they stop the run, you got to come back with your passing game, and that's going to make it better when the weather gets cold. So I'm very happy this morning.
Ron, great call. We appreciate your loyalty, buddy. That was awesome. I a couple things that he said there. First of all, there are a lot of LaFleur haters, and I thought for as magnificent as Love was, I thought Matt LaFleur had a really good game last night too in the second half. I thought there were, to Ron's point, I thought there were guys schemed open that were, there was a one play where I want to say Golden, like Love had his choice of open receivers, and that doesn't discount how well he played, but it does help when you have some options and you're not constantly under duress and everybody's covered and you're putting the ball in harm's way. So there was one play where Golden was clearly open, but the other guy, I think it was Kraft on that play that he threw it to, was also open. I still am curious what the, and I understand you're constantly evolving, but I am curious what their offense down the stretch, December into January, is going to look like. I'm super, like, how much is Golden? You're going to get you're going to get Reed back. Now you've got Watson back in the lineup, and Watson was he caught all four balls that were thrown his way. He averaged 21.3 yards per catch, and that's with his first catch being a 5-yard reception. Like he was a difference maker last night too. So there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the offense.
Jason, you've covered this team for 30 years and you understand, you get into the stories and you understand these guys probably as well as anybody from the outside. Jaden Reed coming back. Matthew Golden, I believe, probably is going to start getting a little bit irritated that he's not getting the looks and the thoughts. Who's going to be the odd man out that's just left out? If you had to make a prediction.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because Golden has said all the right things, but you know he wants to be more involved, right? I also, I didn't watch him at Texas, but I have a few people that are either from Texas or Longhorns fans that have commented in the YouTube chat that basically said, this is not how he, and I think we had a caller earlier say it too, this is not how he was used at Texas. So, again, I don't know what that's going to look like. And good problems to have are still problems.
I think the answer is going to be Jaden Reed.
I don't know. Jaden Reed, for the first two games, was their most reliable player. Until he got hurt in that second game. Like, you're right. I don't know what it's going to look like.
It is going to be a really tough juggle for LaFleur. It's going to be tough. You think, you know, it's great to have all these stars and you want to have all these guys that you think can really be good players for you. I think Romeo Doubs, if it was a year earlier, I think Romeo hopefully has grown up and understands he doesn't have any more outbursts. Like, he can't have it. Like, he can't have a scenario like he did last year. Golden's young. Jaden Reed, here's what I do know. Christian Watson is going to be Christian Watson. He's going to have a role, and he is going to play it to the best of his ability. He's going to be there. Everybody, and Romeo Doubs will have a role too. Everybody else, the Tucker Kraft show is the Tucker Kraft show. It is going to get murky, and you hope that winning will silence and kind of keep everybody happy. But you've been around long enough, you know that's just not that. That's hard to do. And Jordan Love is going to have, it's probably going to be as much on Jordan as it is on Matt LaFleur to keep this whole thing content. Not happy, but content with their roles as this season goes on. Because it's going to get tricky when you have every, because Wicks was out. I didn't even bring up Tay Wicks, your guy. I think he's probably, now that I'm thinking about it, he's going to definitely be the odd man out.
That is definitely true, and he's injured as of now. Tell us about Coors Light.
I will. Whether you're tailgating pregame, celebrating a big win against the Pittsburgh Steelers, celebrating a touchdown for the Wisconsin Badgers, or whatever it is, and you just want to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and cold package, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
We'll get to some text next. This is Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I say go, baby, go, go, go.
All right, Jesse, our clock management has been suboptimal. How about just one text message, and then we'll get to Wonelli next?
That'll work. Let's get to this one from Adam in the Berg. I don't know if this
Pittsburgh?
Is... Oh, wow, this is even smaller than I thought it was going to look like. I don't... I'm assuming Cedarburg. So here's what Adam...
Where's Jenna been? They played in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Jana in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, what is going on with her?
I don't know. I'll have to check the text line, see if we have anything coming in from her. I didn't, maybe they were sleeping in because they were at the game, got home late last night. Here's what Adam said. I remember in the offseason discussions about trying to get the play-action pass working better, but the only way that could really happen was if Jordan Love was under center. Do you think with Love under center, that's affecting Josh Jacobs' ability to run the ball like he has in the past? If I remember correctly, he prefers to run out of the shotgun set. So there's a couple of layers to that to see if the point even makes sense. But what do you want to say on this?
It's a good question, and obviously I am a huge advocate for play-action pass out of under center. It's just more effective. But I also, you know, last year when Josh Jacobs had the year that he had, I want you to play to your players' strengths. That's what they did. And now, another year, Jordan Love is, you know, if he can continue to play like he has, and obviously what he did last night, it's a tough balance. It really is. And I think Matt LaFleur, it's one of those, you have good problems to have. And we talked a little bit about the receivers and some of this other stuff. This is trying to figure out how to utilize this. Josh Jacobs needs to also be able to adjust. He's a really good running back. Really good running backs find ways to do it. They're going to have ways they like. He likes duo blocking. So maybe you find some under center stuff that you can do more duo blocking and give those holes in the way he likes reading it. Maybe that could be some of it, but it's a really good question that I, you know, probably nice to see some clarifications on how Matt LaFleur views that, because I do think that's an interesting point. Although, what did he tell you last year, Jason? That it doesn't matter of play action, that he poo-pooed it, but I don't think he really
poo-pooed
it. There's
a lot of poo-pooing. Yeah. And look, Josh Jacobs, as we've talked about many times, he likes the duo blocking scheme, but he can run inside zone. He can run outside zone. I think he does like the shotgun running. I don't know how much more significantly, I don't have the numbers in front of me, how much more Jordan Love has been in under center as opposed to in shotgun now that his legs function properly. I don't think it's like a huge amount because he does like being in shotgun a lot too. So I don't know if it's an appreciable difference. I do know this. Josh Jacobs has 9 touchdown runs in 7 games. He had a 93-yard game against Cincinnati. Obviously, last night, as I mentioned, Mike Tomlin was very clear that they were not going to let him beat them, and he didn't. But Jordan Love sure as heck did, and Tucker Kraft sure as heck did. Tausch, I have seen many videos. I'm not sure I like any of them more than I like the ones from Jones Dairy Farm.
Yeah, Jones Dairy Farm, what a great Wisconsin company. Family owned and operated for 7 generations in Fort Atkinson's all the way back to 1889. And told you we had one of the best meals, man. Just last week, pork sausage, a little orchetta, some spinach. And it was Jones Dairy Farm. That's where we got it from. And you know what? Everybody wants to eat clean. Well, we've been doing it for years over at Jones Dairy Farm. No fillers, nitrates, MSG, none of that. All natural. They also have great bacon, as we found out when we went down there to visit. We've had great videos with Eleanor, with Philip, with the whole team. We got a couple of fun ones brewing. Maybe a little volleyball collab. We'll have to wait and see for that, but you don't have to wait and see if you need to get some Jones Dairy products. Head on over to jonesdairyfarm.com to find out all you need to know to find where to get their great products.
A very abbreviated Whoa Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around.
Got to run the 2-minute drill. Time for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
All right, I was going to ask you something about the Bears, but they lost. We'll talk plenty more about them in the coming days and the NFL rankings and whatnot. I guess I would be remiss. I did go back from the very start of the show. I missed this one. Slipped by my desk earlier. We did get a text from someone very special celebrating a big night for her guy last night.
Great faces, great places, South Dakota.
Jack Rabbit Mama texted it. It's a long one. I wish I could call in today because I'm still celebrating National Tight Ends Day, but it's a work day. Tucker is everything that he promised to be, and he's the ideal blend of confidence and humility. I remember suggesting 2 years ago, yak, that's yards after catch, would be his superpower, and if I'm not mistaken, he took 4 Steelers into the end zone with him on one of his touchdowns. He is him.
Great places, South Dakota.
Thoughts on Jackrabbit Mama's text on her guy Tucker Kraft, Tausch?
She nailed it. She was on this. Obviously, she was a little biased, but she was on this from the jump. We probably were late adopters to it, but I was never against what Jackrabbit Mama said, but Jackrabbit Mama has been proven right on all this. So kudos to you, JRM. Kudos to you.
Couldn't agree with her more. Whoa Nelly.
Whoa Nelly!
Tausch, you're going to be off the show the next couple of days, we hear. That's true, right?
That is true, correct.
So then I guess
I will defer to Jason, but I do believe that is true.
But before we get to, no, I don't want you to defer. I want you to receive this question then. How has your trip thus far to the Pacific Northwest been, including the rainy football game that was closer than the experts. I know you don't know these kinds of things, but the Badgers were 31.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, I haven't looked at
on
that.
Saturday night.
I didn't know that.
They were a lot closer than
I'll
that.
I'll say this. My trip yesterday, I was very, very concerned that we would potentially be out in the elements, as bad as the game's elements were on Saturday. And fortunately, the skies parted. We had a beautiful day out, and it looks like the rest of my little trip here is going to, the weather should be good. From the game standpoint, the group played their keisters off. I thought defensively, man, oh man, flying around and did everything that they possibly could. I think Badger fans should be very proud of defensively what that effort was. Saturday was phenomenal. Now, offensively, as we talked about in the broadcast, you can't be 1 of 13 throwing the football. I looked up and I felt like Bob Uecker in Major League when they said one blanking hit, one blah, 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 because it was, you knew it was a struggle. And obviously the wind, and it was a tough day to throw. Even their quarterback struggled. But there was a stretch, I think it was like 3 minutes left in the third quarter. I think old boy was 1 of 12 or 1 of 13 for 12 yards. And that you just can't overcome that. So effort was awesome. I love the fact that it was a competitive game. I mean, that sounds moral victory-ish, but the way the last two games went, moral victories be damned. That's what I thought we came out of it feeling like, man, these boys played their tails off, and that's what I felt walking out of there Saturday night.
And they did score a touchdown, which had not happened in the previous two games. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, what a fun place that is.
It is, and Jesse and I had a heck of a time. We got some stuff brewing. With the G&G and with Jordan Love. And the Hard Rock Casino Rockford features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, more than 1,300 slots, 50 live table games that Jesse will hide under, and a sports book. And if you're hungry, great diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Cafe, Council Oak Steaks and Seafood, Street Tacos, and, of course, Go Boo at the UU Noodle Bar. The Hard Rock Casino, Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, about an hour from the greater Madison area.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
To have enough time to say goodbye before the Rich Eisen show begins. Tausch, we will talk to you again on Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday.
No, Thursday. Yeah. Tausch, excited to get a little break from old T, aren't you? Hey, you want a little break from old T, don't you?
Tausch will return to the program. We've got Ryan Bulaga lined up. We've got you. We've got Uncle Homer lined up. And maybe we're efforting on a few other surprises as well. Enjoy your time in one of the great states in our union. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.